Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the big news, I think, for us is the weather, man, because here's the deal. It's going to be nice today. It's 50 degrees outside right now, going up to 74. Just, if you have not been outside in the afternoon, just perfect weather. 77 tomorrow, a little bit warmer, 77 on Thursday, warming through the weekend. Then a chance for showers on Sunday as a cold front comes through. We reach the high temperature early on Sunday. Temperatures plummet throughout the day. Highs, the high temperature next Monday, 54 and windy. So ladies, with your boots or whatever winter wear you like, guys, whatever you like to wear, get it out because you're going to be able to wear it. And then highs of only 56 on Tuesday, and then warming to 68 on Wednesday. So it's November. It's going to turn cool just in time, and we're happy for that here. At least I am at WWL. Let's talk about the filibuster, shall we? President Trump wants to get rid of it, and believe it or not, we do some research on this show. And I'm looking at a story from CNN that an editor's note says a version of this story was first published in 2021 when Democrats were trying to end the filibuster. So before anybody goes crazy with the text line about President Trump this, Democrats that, keep in mind it's all about who's in power at the time and who can best benefit from doing whatever it is they can do. With that, we welcome in Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's start with filibuster 101 for people that know of it, but perhaps don't know what exactly it is. What is a filibuster?
So basically, the filibuster is preventing a bill from getting a floor vote in the Senate. So in the House of Representatives, there is a motion called motion to table, and the motion in the House in order to call for a vote doesn't exist in the Senate rules, which means that as long as you have the floor to keep debating, you can keep talking, and then you can give the floor to one of your friends.
Wait, go back a second, Professor, if you can. I want to go slow because it's early and we're talking about the House here, right? Yep.
Okay, so in the House, all you have to do is call for a vote, and that just requires passing that motion on a strict majority line.
So in the House, if I'm talking about a bill, another member can rise according to the procedure and say what? Table
is? So in the House, all that has to happen is you introduce a motion to call for a floor vote. That motion requires a strict majority to pass. You can end debate, and then you just get a floor vote.
At any point, I can do this. If somebody's talking, I can stand up and say this. I can say, Mr. whatever it is, Speaker, whoever's running the House at the time, I call for a floor vote on blah, 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 blah. And a simple majority ends it, right?
Basically, you can also have a rule in the House which will end debate after a specific period of time, and okay, that's written into the rule for a bill.
All right.
So there are a bunch of ways in the House that will just end debate and prevent this endless debate. Now, in the Senate, it doesn't work that way. So in the Senate, what will happen is that you can start talking, and you can talk for as long as you want to talk, and then you can give the floor to one of your friends who will talk and talk and talk, and then that can go on endlessly. And the only way to end debate in the Senate is with a motion called cloture. So there's a specific motion in the Senate called the cloture motion. Now, this was introduced in 1917, and the original threshold for a cloture motion when it was introduced in 1917 was two-thirds. So you had to get two-thirds of the Senate to agree to end debate and vote on a bill. Mm-hmm. So it would require a majority to pass a bill, but you had to get two-thirds of the Senate to agree to end debate to get to that majority threshold.
Now, hang on one second. Let me just go slow if I can, Professor, because for a lot of us, the only reference we have to this is Mr. Smith goes to Washington and Jimmy Stewart talking until he was hoarse, right, and all of that stuff. So at that point in the 30s, whenever it was, somebody could stand up while they were reading, because I remember in high school civics, they would tell us, you know, they would read this, they would read that, they'd read the phone book, whatever it was to keep the floor. As long as they could keep talking, they could keep the floor. But at any point, somebody could have stood up and called for a vote on cloture if they had 2/3 of the votes, and that's why they were counting votes in the chambers and all that kind of stuff?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, now, 2/3 is really hard to get, obviously.
Right.
So in 1975, they reduced the threshold to 3/5, which is still hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have 100 senators, that means you had to get 60 votes in order to end debate.
And that's where we are now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where we are now for regular bills. So there are a couple of exceptions. So we use the nuclear option for judicial positions and executive branch appointments, and we can talk about that.
Yes,
and
let's talk about the nuclear option since you brought it up. What is that?
Yeah. Okay, so the nuclear option is basically where the majority party says that the rules don't exist. The rules are whatever we say they are because we're the majority party and we have more votes. That's the nuclear option. It's basically cheating and using the fact that there are more majority party members than minority party members by definition, ignoring the rules and saying the rules don't mean anything because we say so.
So why wouldn't they, if they have a majority, why wouldn't they do it all the time?
So the reason not to do that is because at some point the majority and the minority will flip. If you're in the majority now, at some point you will be in the minority. And when you are in the minority, you will want to be able to filibuster, because whatever you want to do when you're in the majority, well, think about the minority party and the things that they will want to do that you want to stop. You will then want to filibuster with the minority, what the current minority, then majority, will want to do. And if you don't have the filibuster available to you, then they will be able to ram through all the things that they want to do, and you won't be able to stop them. So the filibuster is basically a way to kind of moderate the policymaking process.
But wait, let me interrupt for one second just to understand. So the majority party at any point can change the rules and either bring back or do away with the filibuster?
Well, it can do away with the filibuster, but it can't really bring it back, because once you do away with the filibuster, you've thrown out the rules and you've thrown out all trust. It's hard to bring it back. It's hard to come back from it, which is why we call it the nuclear option.
But they have done it before, right?
Well, we have gone in one direction. We've gone in the direction of getting rid of the filibuster for judicial appointments and executive branch appointments. We haven't gone in the other direction. We haven't brought the filibuster back. It's kind of a one-way thing. Once you get rid of the filibuster, bringing it back is kind of hard to conceive of, because once you do that, you have created a Senate in which the majority party just throws out the rules whenever they feel like it.
I got you.
It's hard to come back from that.
I got you. But they have used, when it comes to reconciliation, that's a different thing as well, correct?
Yeah, that's a different thing, because that's actually written into the rules. So there's a process called budget reconciliation, and budget reconciliation automatically ends debate after a set period of time, so you don't have to call for cloture. Now, you can only use budget reconciliation in specific ways on specific kinds of bills, but when you use budget reconciliation, debate ends after a specific period of time, so there's no need for a cloture vote. So it's written into the rules. You don't need to use the nuclear option, and you can use budget reconciliation on specifically fiscal issues. You're not allowed to increase the deficit for more than 10 years, so there's some limitations. But because it's written into the rules of the Senate, it's not the majority party saying the rules mean whatever we say they mean because we're in the majority party.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because what I'm hearing is either karma or payback, however you want to look at it. You better watch what you ask for, because you might get it, because next time you might be on the wrong side of this, and that's why John Thune is saying, no, hang on a second, we're not going to do away with the filibuster. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, because when it comes to national political policy, personally, I don't think it can hurt to understand what the heck it is we're talking about. 622 Traffic Now, WWL. 627 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, about the filibuster, how the President Trump wants to kill it. John Thune, the majority leader in the Senate, says he does not. Somebody texted in, I don't know if they've been listening or not, but says the Republicans need to go nuclear. They need to use the majority that they have and open the government. If they were to do away with the filibuster, for this person that texted in and is all for it now, what would they have to consider in the future, Professor? Apparently, I don't know if they understood the first part of the conversation or not.
What that person would have to consider would be what would happen if there would be, say, a President Ocasio-Cortez and a Democratic majority in the House and Senate after the 2028 election. I suspect that whoever texted that in is probably a Republican who would not be happy with what would happen with a President Ocasio-Cortez and a Democratic House and Senate, because there would be no Republican filibuster to stop whatever would happen under that scenario, because this works both ways. You cannot create an option that is going to be used by your party that won't then be turned around on you when you're in the minority. And that's exactly what the filibuster is. It's a tool to stop the majority party, whichever party is the majority, and then serves as kind of a moderating influence.
This goes to the nature of the founding fathers and the Senate being the more deliberative body, does it not?
Yeah, there's actually some historical debate on whether the filibuster was intentional, because there's the previous question motion is the motion specifically written into the House rules for ending debate. And the previous question motion was not introduced into the Senate rules. And how intentional was that? But there's a lot of other evidence that the Senate was intended to be a moderating influence, even aside from that. And that was very much the founder's intent. Yeah,
even to the 6-year terms, right?
Yes, that's part of it. Also, the Senate was not originally directly elected. That's also part of it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. The shutdown does have consequences. Michael Williamson will join us when we come back. He's the CEO of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We'll talk about food insecurity in general in Louisiana, about the new ALIS study, especially with concerns over how much SNAP funding is going to go out in November, because now I think they're given half SNAP benefits, which seems like you try to please all in the end by pleasing none. I don't know. We'll see what he comes on. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 646, 14 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Thanks for getting your Tuesday morning started with us. A beautiful Tuesday morning it is. Michael Williamson joins us, CEO of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. Talk about food insecurity in Louisiana, especially with concerns over SNAP funding and how much of it's going out. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm okay, sir. Let's talk about ALIS households and what those are. I tried to explain it before, but you could probably do a better job than I could, of what the studies, these studies that you do indicate, and what an ALIS household is. And this is irrespective of SNAP funding or cuts in SNAP funding, right?
Sure. So ALIS, we consider now the ALIS Data Research Project. Let's start with ALIS as an acronym. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. So by definition, these are folks that are working every day to get by and meet their basic needs, including food. And the harsh reality, Tommy, is one out of every two households throughout Southeast Louisiana and the entire state, for that matter, are considered ALIS, which means they're one hardship away from financial peril and falling into poverty.
So, to be clear, these are people that are working. I think there is this misconception that people that are receiving help, especially when it comes to food benefits, sit at home, they don't want to work, they hang out on a porch all day, blah, 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 and that is not the case.
That's not the case. You know, a large number of, ALIS households in general, a large number of SNAP recipients are folks that are working, and you know, if you look at the acronym of SNAP, it stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, which means it's meant to supplement a family's food budget. And so, once again, in our state, one out of every two households is considered ALIS, means a large number of folks are out there that need those benefits in order to feed their families.
Is there a snapshot, if you will, of the typical ALIS recipient?
So, yeah, the typical, I mean, these are folks, we talk about it all the time, Tommy. These are folks you know, like you go into medical practice often, you know, it could be a nursing aide or, you know, the barista in your coffee shop or a clerk at a grocery store or any number of you know, jobs that we rely on every day for people to do those are considered ALIS, you know, and they're working hard trying to make ends meet that they still struggle. And oftentimes they need these, you know, supplemental programs to help make sure that they've got a roof over their head and food on the table.
It's not getting any better, is it?
No, it's the you know, we see as those folks move, we consider abject poverty based on federal standards for measuring poverty.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This means they don't qualify for public benefit programs often, but they're still not earning enough. But overall, the top line number doesn't vary a great deal. It may go from 9 to 50%. And our commitment at United Way is to help those families, what we call get on pathways to prosperity so that they can be more financially stable and independent.
We got a little bit of a phone issue. I don't know if it's on our end or yours. We're going to try to resolve it during the break because I want to hear every word that you have to say, Micah. We'll talk about SNAP when we come back. 6:50, 10 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with Micah Williamson, CEO, United Way of Southeast Louisiana, about how big of a problem is food insecurity. We'll talk about it parish by parish as well when we come back, because it's easy to look at the state as one entity when in fact it's not. Obviously, it's a lot of different entities. Traffic now, WWL. 6:56, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back to Michael Williamson, CEO of United Way of Southeast Louisiana. Michael, are there parishes that are more affected than others in Louisiana? I would think there are.
Yeah, we see some inconsistencies, obviously, when it comes to a parish by parish look. But I'll give you just a contrast looking at neighboring parishes. So in Jefferson Parish, as an example, 33% of households are considered ALIS, while 16% live in poverty. But if you go down and you look at Orleans Parish, the numbers are a good bit different, where you have 29% of households are considered ALIS, living slightly above poverty, but with 23% living in poverty. And the state numbers are 30% and 19%. So you can see variations from parish to parish and across the region, about 1 in 2, as I mentioned before.
Talk about the SNAP funding and how important that is and how that affects ALIS households, because I don't understand the logic of this doesn't sit with me with the half of the benefits. It's like, well, if you need to go into a reserve fund to pay benefits and the benefits are needed, well, then you need to pay all of the benefits. Going into the reserve fund to pay half the benefits, well, that's just saying we're just going to ease your pain halfway. I don't understand the logic of that. Tell me about the effect of it.
Well, and let's also remember, once again, it's supplemental. Mm-hmm. And so this is necessary for families to feed themselves. And so if they have to stretch even farther, I mean, children and families are going to go hungry. And you know, you look at the economic impacts of that. Like people can't, you know, show up to work fully ready to work if they're hungry. Kids can't learn in school if they're hungry. So we certainly believe those benefits need to be, you know, fully paid and ensure that the families have those resources. Is this necessary to folks, you know, being able to be successful each and every day?
Why do you think so many people struggle with accepting the fact that hardworking people are facing food insecurity? I'll give you my opinion. I think it's because if you go to a buffet or you go to a nice meal at a restaurant, you are so full when you leave, you can't even imagine eating again or why anybody would ever want to eat. And I think that sometimes people that have it pretty good and they work hard, I understand that, but a lot of us get breaks in our lives and a lot of us don't. They can't quite understand how, well, if I'm not hungry, how can somebody else be hungry? Talk about that, if you will.
Yeah, I think, you know, once again, the reality is, like, you know, the cost of goods, the cost of food, et cetera, has outpaced wages for a very, very long time. And so families have been forced to stretch. And so, you know, folks have been, and oftentimes, you know, those of us who are able to put food on the table and feed our families and walk away with that full experience, like I've had a good meal and I'm full, you know, have kind of forgotten what it's like to be hungry. And I think if you think back to those moments where you were hungry, it all make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with one or two households struggling, we know so many going hungry, these benefits are essential. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us that we can encourage our legislators to obviously, you know, end the shutdown, bring back those benefits. In the meantime, let's do all we can to support our food bank.
What can people do to help? I was going to ask you that.
Absolutely. So the easiest thing to do is to go to our website, UnitedWaySELA.org. Right there, you'll see it on the main page. We have both a way for folks to give and help out, but also if you're in need, you know, finding a food bank or other resources, we have a resource page as well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and your efforts. Michael Williamson, CEO, United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We're going to talk with an agricultural economist with the LSU Ag Center. A lot of farmers depend on federal agencies for financial assistance as well. Sometimes the poor get singled out, but the federal government gives a lot of assistance to a lot of people. We'll talk about it when we come back. WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.